This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. The weather's improved, and how did your bridge go on the weekend?
It's good. A fairly good trip up in a funny sort of a way.
Why?
I knew you were going to ask why. So Jenny played in the pairs on Saturday, and I didn't play the pairs. I went up on Sunday morning, and so she had her car up there, so I thought I'd get a ride with somebody. So I got a ride up with Hugh McGann, who was also just going up for the teams.
Yep.
And that all sounded fairly straightforward. We met nice and early so that he could have a system discussion with his partner, Mike Cornell, when he got up there.
Yep.
And when I met him, he said, oh, I've had a bit of a disaster. And I said, what do you mean? He said, hop in and I'll tell you. And what he'd done, I hope he's not listening to this. If you are, Hugh, sorry, but it was quite a funny story. And he said, oh, he charged his car, but he'd only charged it up to 50% by mistake the previous night. And it wasn't going to be enough to get us to the Auckland Bridge Club. So we're going to have to stop somewhere and charge it. And he was supposed to be having a system discussion with Mike Cornell.
Yeah.
I'm telling all sorts of secrets here. So he sent him 40 pages of system the night before, which would have been fine, but Hugh was going to watch the All Blacks playing against France that night. So he went, and then he read it when he got home, but he was a bit tired, so he went to bed and said, oh, get up early and go there. Anyway, instead of that, we had to stop at Taupiri and charge his car on the charger there. So he had 19 minutes on the charger while he was reading through the system on his phone.
40 pages of notes.
It was good enough. They won the tournament. So
I was going to say.
So I said to him, I reckon it was those 19 minutes at Taupiri that did it. The winning team, of course, was Hugh McGann with Mike Cornell, Jeremy Fraser-Hoskin and Kevin Hu. And second were Claire Maurer, Wayne Burrows, Tom and Steph Jacob.
Cool. I've got the result for the pairs event. That was the 10A regional pairs. That was won by John Wang and Gary Chen. Lysandra Zing and Tim Pan were second. Liz and Blair Fisher were third.
By the way, I heard that Gary and John, they didn't just win it. They won it by a long way. Quite a big margin to second. So well done to Gary and John.
Good work. Pleased to see Mike Weir and Kermit. They came in fourth and they'd be heading off over to Denmark soon.
Yep, they will. So a lot of those pairs having a last practice. Probably the reason for the 40 pages of notes, by the way, was that Mike Cornell is playing in Denmark with Gary Tislevold, and he asked Hugh McGann to stand in and play their system so he could get a bit of practice. That was part of the reason. Anyway,
where was Gary?
Gary's overseas, I believe. He had a bit of practice and then wound up winning the 10A teams. So that was good practice for them. Ian Berrington, Graham Tufnell, Malcolm Mayer, and Brian Mace were playing.
Yeah.
Michael Weir and Pam Livingston were in the teams with Blair and Liz. Jane Lennon and Jan Alabaster were playing with Jan Cormack and Leon Mayer. They went up 11th in the teams. They're all going.
That's cool. Well, good luck to our teams.
A new shift of mission's been announced. Did you read? Tim Schumacher is the new shift of mission after Denmark. Jonathan Westerby standing down. Tim Schumacher standing in. They've also got two applicants for the head director's role. They'll be interviewing those, talking about making an announcement on the head director's role by the end of the month, which is not too far away.
That's good. So obviously I haven't read newsletter number 2 for 25.
Well, there's a bit of news in there. There's a bit of news about Online Bridge, which I was pretty sad to read. Not good for the lovers of Online Bridge.
And come on, what was it?
Oh, well, there's going to be hardly any. There's going to be 3 weekends where you can have an Online Bridge tournament. And one of those was a few days before Christmas. So not so great. And that's also putting the kibosh on a few other things. So the Online Bridge haters are getting their way.
Maybe a lot of clubs will put a submission in to change their potential tournaments from face-to-face to midweek.
I think they're going to try and put the kibosh on that as well. They really are putting the boot into Online Bridge in a big way.
Where were you reading that from, Barry?
It was something that got sent out to all the clubs.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, pretty sad reading, really. But hey, some people just try and make everybody play face-to-face. I don't think that'll work, but that's what they're trying to do.
We don't really want to say any much more on that, I guess.
If I say any more, I'll get myself into trouble. I'm pretty brassed off about the whole thing.
Yeah. I was talking to Patrick in Auckland, have made the move reducing their daytime sessions on Real Bridge. They used to have it Monday to Friday, and now they only host it on Tuesday and Friday afternoons because people are returning back to the clubs, which is good having that option for practice, also for all the people that are pairing up with new people out of their region. That only restricts them to Tuesdays and Fridays.
Yeah, so if I say too much more, I'm sure one thing that they'll succeed in, there'll be less people playing bridge. So if New Zealand bridges, that's what they're trying to do, then they've succeeded.
Right.
Do you think I'm going to get the sack for this? Oh, well, there you go.
It's a good form of fundraising, like the Matariki tournament. That's a great fundraiser for the international teams. Funds go to the foundation. Surely they should see the positive of that it is a great way to put money in the coffers of the clubs.
Well, yeah, they've sort of tried to stop that as much as they can too, believe it or not. The way that I read it is, so there are seven major regional events each year, as you know, the 20 A's,
Yep.
allocated on a rotating basis, one to each region. The region has the option to run these events face to face and to specify the club that will hold the events. If the region chooses to run the event online, it'll be managed by NZ Bridge. Clubs will not be allowed to run these and make the profit. New Zealand Bridge will take it.
Ouch.
They've got a special thing in here. Metropolitan tournaments, which is what it's called, run over several weeks, may run online midweek in the daytime if they are 8B tournaments. Metropolitan A point tournaments must be run face to face.
That's crazy.
It's almost like they've deliberately, because I don't imagine it'll affect any other club, they've deliberately gone out of their way to make sure that we can't hold our 5A online during the week. I can't see that it's going to affect anybody else.
That's sad, isn't it?
It is. It's been hopeless running it face to face.
Yeah.
Sadly, that'll probably be the end of that 5A tournament, which is really popular, 32 tables. That'll be a whole lot of people won't be able to enjoy playing in a 5A during the week.
That's tough.
But it's such a good field. It's a big field and it was a strong field. In fact, if you compared it to the 20A that they had at Picton, which they made them have face to face, it was a way stronger field in the Hamilton 5A online tournament. It was just crazy stuff.
Have you finished? Are you off your soapbox now?
No, I'm not. I'm probably going to go on about it again. We're going to run out of time if I keep talking about it, so you better move on.
To know me is to love me. I must be a hell of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I
Morning, this
can.
is Patrick's week, so we have the bailiff.
I want to test him this week and just see how generous he could be. Some people would say not very. Talking about the revoke law, where I think it's probably generally accepted, if somebody revokes, you either get a one-trick penalty or a two-trick penalty. But sometimes the director mumbles something about it could be more if you felt like you were disadvantaged. What's that all about, Patrick? How can you get more than one or two?
The revoke law is sort of simple in that there's a hard and fast rule about one trick or two tricks, or no tricks, I guess. First of all, if you don't win the revoke trick, then it's going to be a one trick penalty unless your side didn't win any tricks from that point onward. So, first of all, no tricks. Let's say you revoke, but they win the rest of the tricks.
Right.
You can't give them a trick that was won before the revoke. So there's no tricks to be transferred. So let's say
Okay.
the most common type, you fail to follow suit, you don't win the trick, and your side wins at least one more trick from that point onwards. Maybe your partner won that trick and you discarded, or maybe it's just you or your partner won a later trick. Then it's a one trick adjustment. Now it's a two trick adjustment if you, the revoker, won the revoke trick, and that can only be by trumping. So you
Okay.
trumped them one trick. And your side won at least two tricks from that point. So the revoke trick you just won and another trick, then the automatic penalty is two tricks. In these cases, there is a possibility of there being more tricks because while it doesn't matter if the non-offending side gets a bonus, right? Sometimes the non-offending side gets a bonus because your revoke didn't get you an extra trick at all. And the one trick you give them as a penalty was a complete bonus for them. Now, the opponent's revoke, you get a complete bonus. That's fine. The people who revoked got penalized for their stupidity in revoking. But sometimes that penalty is not enough. And just come up with a scenario that I don't think I've ever seen in real life, but to go for the maximum number of tricks adjustment, let's say that you wound up playing three no trumps and you've got a singleton diamond in your hand. Let's say singleton jack of diamonds and dummy has ace 10, 10 diamonds. And you think, oh, I've won the first trick in some other suit. I hope those diamonds are 1-1 because then I could make 10 diamond tricks.
Yep.
So you play to the ace of diamonds and someone shows out. Then maybe you could play another diamond and someone says, oh, I've got a diamond, and they win that trick. Right? Now, that's one where you'd normally give a one-trick adjustment because they didn't win the trick they revoked on. That was won by the ace of diamonds.
Yep.
So normally it's a one trick. But guess what? You've only made one diamond trick instead of 10 diamond tricks. So the director might say, well, the hard and fast penalty is one trick. But in this case, you've been disadvantaged by nine tricks. So I'm going to give you nine extra tricks.
Oof.
Yeah.
Wow.
So what he's suggesting is you should get Patrick to the table. He might give you nine tricks.
Yeah, I don't think I ever have. I think I might have given five extra tricks. The more likely scenario is you've got King X of at ace to seven.
Right.
And someone doesn't follow, and then you miss out. You only get two of those tricks instead of seven of them. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure I've given five tricks. I don't think I've ever given nine.
I reckon he probably hasn't given five very often either, but anyway.
Oh, no, I certainly haven't given it very often, but I'm pretty sure I have.
Wow. That's a lot. Because I only thought there was one or two. I wasn't really aware.
Well, the important thing is that the side that didn't revoke shouldn't be disadvantaged. Yeah. That's the whole idea of that.
Yeah.
When I think of all the
time. It doesn't matter if the side that did revoke, doesn't matter if they're disadvantaged, they revoke. That's their fault.
When I think of all the times that Judge Julie goes on and on about, make sure you call the director, make sure you call the director, I reckon she'd have more success if she said, well, you might get five tricks. If you call the director, I reckon that'd encourage people to call her more often.
Well, she's right. People don't call the director often when they should. Perhaps the most common mistake, a more common mistake than revoking, failing to call the director when you should have.
Revoking seems to be quite popular. A lot of people do it.
Everybody has revoked at some stage.
We have a member in Hamilton that actually says, I revoke at least once.
One of my favourite stories concerns Bruce Bell. Now, Bruce was a little bit before my time, sort of. I did direct him a few times playing with Nigel Hannay at club level when I first started directing in Auckland. And Bruce was getting on a bit and he did make a mistake or two like that. And I got called several times where Bruce had revoked. It was like, it wasn't Bruce's fault. It would be, Nigel, I've told you, challenge me.
No hearts, partner. Well, I always reckon that. I mean, you can argue, can't you, that it's not the revoker's fault, it's their partner's fault. They should ask.
Bruce certainly took that view, but anyway.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. All righty then.
Thank you, Patrick.
Okay, see you next
week. See you later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's really awesome, yeah.
I want to talk about your defense over one no trump. I was reading someone's system card, and they had a system called the Halvik Regal. Have you heard of that?
I have actually, but I can't recall how it works. I think people who decide to play some conventions pretty much entirely because they like the sound of the name.
Pretty cool name. So the Halvik Regal. After the opposing double, they're called Regal Bid. So it's really a pass shows that you have two non-touching suit, and a redouble is a single suited hand, and clubs are clubs and diamonds, pass or correct. Diamonds is diamonds and hearts. Hearts is hearts and spades is clubs and spades. Now, isn't that similar to something else?
It is. There's another convention that's quite similar, but it doesn't have such a cool name.
It's a very cool name, isn't it? It's all about wriggling out of one no trump double.
By the way, that can be my tip for the week if you like, and I've talked about it ad nauseum, I know. You really need to talk to your partner about what you do if you get doubled in one no trump, whether they've opened a no trump and got doubled or whether they've overcalled a no trump and got doubled. Play the same thing as my suggestion. Whether it's the Halvik Regal or whether it's something else, discuss it, because if you get this wrong or if you just pass, it can get very expensive.
It can. I have a second question for you. Let's say your partner passes and your right-hand opponent opens something, one diamond, and you've got a 16 count balanced hand with stopper, good, two good stoppers and diamonds, but you have a five card major. Should you show your major or should you show your strength and shape?
Yes.
Okay, that works.
Okay, but I would say that it's probably pretty mainstream to overcall the major.
Yeah.
Some people, I know some people will always double and bid the major with 16 points and five of a major. I think that's actually the worst option. I think overcalling one no trump is okay. I think there's no problem with that. So it's probably not sort of mainstream. Most people would be mortified that you might overcall a no trump when you've got a five card major.
Yes.
But particularly if your major happens to be hearts, I think one no trump's not a bad idea. It makes it a bit harder. They don't get to bid one spade, do they?
No.
Well, they don't get to double to show spades. So one no trump, while it shows a good hand, it's also a little bit more preemptive. If your major is spades, oh, well, okay, it's better to overcall spades than no trumps, but I still think overcalling a no trump's probably fine.
Yep.
If the opponent's bid, you still can bid two spades later on to show a five-card suit.
Oh.
Spades is just such an awesome suit. You can always outbid anybody at anything.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know whether I've given you a definitive answer there, but I have overcalled a no trump with a five-card major, so I'm not opposed to it. I don't know whether it's going to be the right thing to do. Sometimes you maybe wished you'd overcall your major, but other, mind you, on other occasions, maybe you'd wished you'd overcalled a no trump.
It is quite a dilemma. I'm not sure. If I had a shitty major, I probably would lean toward bidding one no trump. I don't know. Maybe it's the way that you feel. Maybe you could look at their system card and see if it was laminated. That might give you a hint over whether or not you're going to bid your major or whether or not you're going to overcall one no trump.
I don't think it's going to help. Maybe if you looked at your own system card and saw if it was laminated, whether you knew what you were doing, that might help. Maybe we could invent a name for this laminated system. You know, you've got the Helvet Wriggle. Maybe the laminated system card thing could have its own name as well.
Could do.
Anybody got a suggestion as to what you could call a system that relied on looking at the opponent's system card to see whether it was laminated or not? Yeah. Email it in, bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com.
I still giggle about the one that Larry Cohen said about Chris Cohen's rule in fourth seat. Actually, I don't know, when was the last time you saw a laminated system card? I haven't seen one for Yongs. Judge Julie tucks hers into a nice little plastic folder type thing. What do you call them, those A4 files?
I'm sure that I usually see a laminated system card or two. Laminate is probably not as trendy as it once was. So maybe it doesn't apply so much anymore. You know, think about it, Mariana. Think of the state of some of the system cards that you've seen in the last few months. And it's not good. It's not pretty. It's ugly.
Let's do a shout out for Tauranga. Next week, they have a midweek ladies tournament online next Wednesday. It's getting quite good numbers. They're coming from near and far to play in it.
How many have they got? I know that is a tournament that has been struggling in recent years. Like, I know that Hamilton actually in the end ended up giving up on their Ladies' Day tournament because we just couldn't get enough to run it.
We've got 18 pairs at the moment.
Okay, and it's next week.
Next Wednesday.
So, okay, now I'm sure that they have struggled as much as we did. Nine tables is probably way more than they had been getting. Perhaps there's a few listeners that maybe they'll get a few more.
It's a 3A as well.
By the way, I'm looking at the tournament list. I see that the Matamata 5A Swiss Pairs on Saturday is booked out.
Yeah, that
is. Good news for the Matamata Club.
Whaiakine, coming up next, Gavin Wolpart and his message about using the app Cupids. Now, I know we spoke about it before, but this gives you a little bit more information on what can happen. So we're only looking at the first board for him. It's another great bridge app that can help improve you and your partner's bridge. Let us know what you think.
My name is Gavin Wolpart. I was born in Toronto, Canada, to a bridge-playing family. I lived in Toronto and trained on the Canadian junior bridge team, and then moved now to Florida, where I live with my wife and my three kids playing professional bridge.
Today, I want to introduce you to a bidding app that I use almost every single day to practice my bidding. I love the app. The guys who run it and organize it just do an amazing job. It's called QBids. So basically, QBids is just a site that you can bid hands with your partner. But more recently, they've actually integrated the robot from IntoBridge, so you can practice hands with the robot playing my system. So if you practice my system, it's really an amazing place to practice. What I love most about QBids is their daily and weekly competitions. The weekly is 24 boards. You have a whole week to play it. And you get to compete with other players around the world. And some amazing partnerships play the weekly. So what happens is you bid these hands, and then after the hand, you get a score, but then you can also look through what other people bid on the hands. Now, sometimes seeing what experts do on a hand really doesn't help you at all, because they're playing some fancy methods, they have different inferences, and you have no idea what they do. But sometimes people are playing the same thing that you play, and also sometimes it's like a preemptive auction, like they open three hearts on your left and partner doubles, and you have a decision to make at a high level where everybody's in the same spot and nobody has any special system. I love looking at what great players like Joe Grew and Brad Moss and Short Brink and Boss Driver, and there's so many good pairs that are on here that I just love watching what they do and use the feedback from their auction to help improve my own game. So for today, I'm going to be bidding with Leah, the robot. So it's going to feel more like just a bidding room. But the way the app was designed is kind of an asynchronous experience where I set up a set of boards, I make one bid on each of the hands, then my partner gets a notification saying, Gavin's done bidding, it's now your turn. Then they make all of their bids on one bid on each hand, and we slowly but surely finish our set. But when you're playing with the robot, it just feels like you're in a bidding room. So I'm going to hit compete, and I'm going to join today's daily. And you can see I'm selecting Leah as my partner, but I could find any of my regular partners on here. And here I can just select my Master Series as the convention card, and I'm going to join. And we're going to see how I do. Okay, I'm going to jump into board one, where I have an 18 count with five spades, a normal one spade opener. Partner has bid one no trump. I'm going to bid two no trump to show 18-19. And partner jumped to four hearts, showing six hearts and not enough for slam. Okay, this was a nothing hand from my perspective. Just showed my hand. And we only got 1.5 stars because it has decided that six hearts is the best contract. And looking at partner's hand, six hearts is pretty good because we can use the ace, king, queen of spades to throw away dummy's clubs. And surprising there that the robot only bid four hearts. They actually had a strong enough hand that they could have looked for slamming hearts. Let's check out the compare button, which lets me look at what other people did. So you can see 39 pairs reached six hearts. I don't feel like I could have. The way that I bid my hand completely normally, so I know that I didn't really mess up this hand. It was just the robot didn't make a progressive bid, but let's check it out. So scroll down. These are all different people. Like, these were my teammates at the Nationals, Wojciech and Rafał. They're Polish. For them, it went one spade past three hearts. I'm guessing that was a natural and invitational bid. And then they started looking for slam, but they're aggressive slam bidders, so I'm not surprised that they bid slam. Let's check the people who played it from North. Six hearts from North. Yeah, these guys are great Dutch pairs. They went one spade three clubs showing hearts. That's not a system that I play, so I don't need to worry about it. There's an expert pair that only got to four hearts. So basically, there's three stars available on every hand. And it all comes down to whether your contract's expected value. You see, we were non-vulnerable on this hand. So four hearts expected value was almost 480. That means we're almost cold for six. And the expected value of six hearts is 874, which is not quite 980. So you're going to go down some in six. But basically, because the expected value of four hearts was so much worse than the expected value of six hearts, that's why I did not get my three stars for the board.
And we also finish with a tip from Gibbon.
So the other question that was asked to me today was, what do you play when partner opens a minor and they overcall no trumps? So the first things first is when partner opens and they overcall a no trump, Anytime you have 10 or more points, you would just always start with a penalty double. Okay, no matter what system I'm agreeing to play with my partners, under any circumstances, when my partner opens the bidding and the opponents overcall a no trump, I'm going to make a penalty double with 10 points because my partner showed an opening bid. They overcalled a no trump showing 16 to 18 or for good 15 to 18. And I have 10. I know that the last person has absolutely nothing. So I will always double with 10 points. So if you start with that idea, understanding that doubles penalty, and everybody should have this as a standard penalty double. There's a few very important standard penalty doubles. This is one of the most completely standard. Everybody you sit down with, this double is penalty. They overcalled a no trump, we double as penalty. So if you're always going to double with 10 points, that's where you start. Then your two level bids are going to be worse hands because you're going to double when you have the 10 point hand. So whenever you bid at the two level, so if you're playing completely standard, the completely standard way to play over one no trump is natural everything. Two hearts natural, two spades natural. So if I had a hand like this, this would be a perfect hand to bid two hearts to show hearts. Seems crazy because you only have 4 points. But you've got to remember your partner's got an opening bid. So you kind of covered. And this is just the kind of hand where you're probably not going to beat one no trump. And there's a good chance you're going to make two hearts or maybe go down very few. So you want to get in the habit of bidding on these types of hands when they will call one no trump. Other than that, what has been discovered, when you only have a 5-card suit, it's pretty dangerous bidding to the two level with only a 5-card suit, because what if partner's got a singleton and they're not going to know the difference between whether you have 5 or 6 or 7. So over time, people realize that it's actually really, really, really useful to have a bid that shows both majors after one club, one no trump. Different people do it different ways. Some people play something called same suit stamen. And what that would mean is that bidding partner's minor would actually say to partner, I have both majors. Some people play something called Mitchell stamen, where when it goes a diamond and no trump, that you always bid two clubs to show both majors. Okay, I'm done sharing my screen. I'm glad we got to go over some bridge stuff. See you next time.
That's about it for this week. If you've got anything to share for us, send us an email.
If there's anybody still listening, bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com.
Catch you next week. See you at the tables.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.